Worldview Radio and WVW-TV is made possible because of listeners like you. Thank you so much for your tax-deductible contribution that you can make at WVWFoundation.com. That's WVWFoundation.com or by calling 901-825-0652. That's 901-825-0652. You can also send your tax-deductible contribution via check to WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. That's again WVW Foundation, P.O. Box 1690, Collierville, Tennessee 38027. Thank you for helping make possible Worldview Radio and WVW-TV broadcasts.
Faith, spiritual values, moral issues, government, economy, education, work, responsibility. What we think about these depends on our worldview. Now, VCY America presents Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House.
That's going to be joined here by Leo Homan. He's got a couple new articles out we need to talk about. And we'll also, of course, endeavor to take your phone calls today. All right. Joining me now is Leo Homan. Leo joins me oftentimes on my show on nighttime as well, which, again, you can pick all those clips up on demand at WVWTV.com, WVWTV.com. Leo, welcome back to the broadcast. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Brannon. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. You've got a very interesting article we touched on last night on television, but I want to bring it to this audience because I think, you know, this is something we have discussed, and that is Prince Charles. His coronation is coming up on Saturday. This guy is a blatant New Ager. He's into cosmic humanism, blatant New Age, Gaia Earth worship. I think we can clearly say that's what he's into. That's some of the stuff I've read about him. Joan Vieth, as we discussed last night, wrote a book saying that he's the one that got Maurice Strong, you know, head of the Earth Summit, who said, isn't the only hope for the planet that the industrialized civilizations collapse? Isn't it our responsibility to bring that about? He said, you got to stop using air conditioning and all that. And he got Maurice Strong, Prince Charles did, on a boat on one of the royal family yachts, along with all these other globalists, prior to the Earth Summit in Rio in 92 and began to hatch this whole thing out. And for any new folks, and boy, are we adding a lot of new folks all the time. One reason I know we're adding new folks is people are emailing into our website and asking, who's the dog? Whose dog is that off to the right on the desk? That tells me we got new people watching, so welcome. That's Delta. That's my beloved 8-year-old lab, Delta. But we're growing now that Fox has kicked off Tucker. People are really looking for alternative media, and we're getting some traction now. Again, we can see in our numbers and in the emails and things we're getting, which tell us we got some new folks listening. We're trying to figure out who everybody is, including what's the dog doing in the TV studio.
Yeah.
But anyway, for those who are new, Sustainable Development Agenda 2030, Agenda 21 as it was called then, now Agenda 2030, is simply global socialism or global communitarianism, communitarianism being big government, big business merging together, the public-private partnership, as Klaus Schwab calls it. Prince Charles was big behind that, getting it going even before that summit came to pass. Now comes his coronation, and you've got a big article. Here it is, Leo Homan, King Charles and the Globalists set meeting for September, at which they plot how to accelerate goals of UN Agenda 2030 and the complete digitization of humanity. So once again, Charles is going to get the folks together and keep moving this ball down the field. So talk to me about this. And again, you and I both have had, we're not saying he's the Antichrist, but Tony Blair,
right.
Prince Charles, Emmanuel Macron, if I were going to make a list of people, these people would be on the short list. For many reasons.
Right. And if you recall, when COVID hit And Klaus Schwab immediately, within like 3 or 4 months, came out with a new book, which tells you the book was probably pre-written before COVID even hit.
Right.
Came out with this new book called COVID-19 and the what? The Great Reset. Basically, that was a rebranding of Agenda 2030, of what people call the New World Order, of what Patrick Wood would call the global technocracy movement. None of those catchphrases really caught on with people, and the New World Order was actually we flipped the script against them with that phrase. The conservative media really latched onto that and gave it a real negative connotation. So they had to call it something else, and they came up with the Reset. And they had all these fancy videos come out, you know, techno wizardry and big name people promoting it. And one of the very biggest names behind it and one of the very first to show up in those United Nations and World Economic Forum videos was none other than, at the time, Prince Charles, Brannon. And so he has continued to lurk in the background of this 2030 Sustainable Development Goals New World Order agenda. He brings a certain cachet to the movement because, you know, people are always sort of, especially, I don't know how much in love the British people are, to be honest, with Prince Charles, now King Charles. But outside of Britain, he certainly has an amount of cachet that brings a lot of leverage to the movement of these Agenda 20 sustainability goals. And so we are going to see a big dog and pony show, like they always have when a new member of the royal family is coronated. This is the first time in many decades that this will have happened, where they're changing the guard and a new person gets to wear that crown. But it will be interesting to see, Brannon, how much of this stuff is brought into the ceremony, because they love, in my view, people can agree or disagree with me. This part is just my opinion. We're dealing with people here who are largely Luciferian. I'm not saying by that they're necessarily devil worshipers or that they go and hold, you know, black masses to Satan. Some of them do, but I don't believe most of them do that. But when I say Luciferian, they are humanistic to the core. They believe in creating their version of heaven here on earth without God's input whatsoever. And one of the big things to watch with the coronation of Charles on Saturday, May the 6th, he has let it be known since his mother died, she died in September of last year, that he no longer wants to be known as the defender of the faith. The faith always referred to what? Christianity. He has let it be known that he wants to be known as the defender of faith, or the defender of faiths, plural. But that's a subtle change. They taking out the word the, which when you say defender of the faith, that means there was one singular faith that the British crown for hundreds and hundreds of years, even before the breakaway from Rome, when Britain was still Roman Catholic, that was when it was bestowed upon the British monarch that they would be the defender of the faith. And after they broke away from Rome, the new Church of England, which is Protestant, retained that mantra, defender of the faith, meaning Christianity. This will be the first king or queen crowned on Saturday, Prince Charles, officially becoming King Charles, who will no longer be the defender of the faith. He does not claim that. He does not want that. He wants to be the defender of the faiths, plural.
Yeah, very, very concerning. Now, we also, yesterday I called you because I saw your great article, and I said, you know, this is something I want to talk to you about, but have you also seen the news report? And I put it over at worldviewreport.com, worldviewreport.com, and it was in a newspaper overseas. I want to say it was the Irish Times or something. And they're calling for the people, not just in the UK, but around the world, to pledge allegiance to King Charles. Here it is, the Irish Times. This is over at worldviewreport.com. Coronation public allegiance oath is, quote, tone deaf, end quote, British Republican group says. Subtitle, people to be asked to swear an oath out loud during ceremony to crown King Charles. Plans to ask the public to pledge their allegiance to the king during the coronation have been banned. Offensive, tone deaf, and a gesture that holds the people in contempt by a British Republican group. Charles's coronation will include the first homage of the people, a modern addition to the ancient ceremony that will see people, listen now, across the UK and overseas realms, invited to swear an oath of allegiance to Charles. Well, this guy, if he isn't the Antichrist, he certainly is a little Antichrist, is he not?
Yeah, I could certainly go there with that. He seems a little bit old, and he seems a little bit
stuffy.
I don't know, like he's not adored enough to me.
No,
if I would see more adoration, I think that would put him at the top of my list. He's still on my list, don't get me wrong, of people that I'm watching very carefully, and I would call a candidate for the Antichrist. And if nothing else, like you said, he is a Antichrist, if not the Antichrist. But until I see that public adoration, I'm probably not going to be sold on that. Although Tim Cohen wrote a book back in 1998, which I mentioned on your show last night, that if people are interested in this topic, they might want to get a hold of that book, because I have not read it. But as I understand, he makes a very compelling case for Charles being the Antichrist. And I've also been told that he is working on an update to that book. That book is now 24 or 5 years old, and it has actually aged quite well, I must say, because since that time, Charles's footprint on the global stage has only increased, not decreased. And now we've got people, as you point out, Brannon, who are going to be pledging their allegiance to this this leader. There's a quote in that article at the Irish Times that I thought put it in good context. And he said, you know, if this were a democracy, that, you know, it should be the other way around. The king should be pledging his allegiance to the people that he's governing or leading, not they shouldn't be having to pledge allegiance to him. So it sounds like Charles is moving in the opposite direction of a democracy. He's also going to be bringing in, there's going to be for the first time ever, a role in the coronation ceremony for the Jewish community, the Muslim community, and the Sikh, the Indian Sikh community. And so it is not going to be anything approaching a Christian ceremony like it has always been in the past.
Well, here is what they're going to say, according to the Irish Times. The order of service will read, quote, all who so desire in the Abbey and elsewhere say together, quote, that's what they all say. I swear that I will pay true allegiance to your majesty and to your heirs and successors according to law, so help me God, end quote. They say will be followed by the playing of a fanfare. The Archbishop of Canterbury will then proclaim, quote, God save the king, end quote, with all asked to respond, quote, God save King Charles. Long live King Charles. May the king live forever, end quote. Well, I wonder what his mother would say about that.
Right. And I guess you could just fill in the blank as to who you believe God is when you say that phrase, God save the king.
We come back from the break. I want to ask you, Leo, just your opinion. Don't you find the timing of the queen's death awfully convenient? I mean, I know she was an older lady, but it just seemed awfully convenient, right? The timing. I'll have you comment on that when you get back. It seemed convenient, and it seemed very fast. But hey, who knows? I don't know. It just, I don't trust any of these people. We'll come back with more by Leo Holman, including an audio clip by Noah Harari. You got to see this, my friends. It just gets getting creepier and creepier. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programming of worldviewradio.com, WVWTV.com, and the 24/7 television stream? Well, did you know that many of the cameras that you're watching right now, we were able to buy those because you went to MyPillow.com and used the promo code WVW? We were able to do away with our old cameras and go to 4K cameras several years ago, cameras we've been using for like 12 plus years. We were able to get brand new 4K cameras because so many of you went to MyPillow.com and you used the promo code WVW. Yeah, it really matters that much. If you want to help us to continue to grow WVW Broadcast Network with our programming, our live programs, our documentaries, as well as through our technology that's needed to keep all of it going, then here's an opportunity for you to help yourself and help us at the same time. Please consider going to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code WVW for deep savings and discounts. And every time you use that code, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep the WVW Broadcast Network, Worldview Radio, and WVW TV going. So please, buy your sheets, towels, blankets, pet beds, slippers, sandals, robes, mattresses, mattress toppers, and more at MyPillow.com, but it's vital that you use the code WVW. When you use that code WVW, a generous percentage of each purchase comes back to keep this 24/7 stream going and all the other programs that are on demand for free at WorldViewRadio.com and WVWTV.com. I cannot stress to you enough how vital it is that you support us and use that code. It does make a difference. So thank you for going to MyPillow.com and using that code WVW. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. My guest is Leo Holman. LeoHolman.com is his website. And when you go over there to Leo Holman, you're going to find that he has embedded a video clip over there on his website. Let's see, Leo, let me go to your website. Here it is. I've actually embedded a couple of one. Let me ask you this. Why have you included this video clip about surveillance under the skin in the article related to, quote, King Charles?
Yeah, because the entire World Economic Forum agenda, which King Charles is a proud backer of the World Economic Forum. He actually has, they give him his own page on the World Economic Forum website where he lays out his 10-point plan for sustainable development and how we can get there in a, quote, accelerated manner. The World Economic Forum is run by Klaus Schwab. The chief advisor to Klaus Schwab is Yuval Noah Harari, the Israeli historian and professor. He's all about the sustainable development goals as well and transhumanism, as is Klaus Schwab. So what I'm saying is they run in the exact same circles. They all support each other. And so what do they all believe? Well, Schwab and Harari have gone full tilt into this transhumanistic way of thinking where humanity is going to evolve to the next stage, humanity 2.0. We're going to be able to upgrade ourselves, they say. But what's unique about this, they see it as just a continuation of human evolution. The only difference is, they say, this time we'll be able to direct our own evolution to this next stage of advancement. And how do we do that? We get connected. We connect our bodies to the internet. That's where they talk about the internet of bodies. We sort of merge man with machine, and we augment our physical bodies by merging, they say, our physical, digital, and biological identities. This is all in Klaus Schwab's book. And Harari can speak about it eloquently whenever he's interviewed. And he's on the same team as King Charles. And it is really stunning to listen to what these people believe.
And, you know, this is globalism. You know, this is why I wrote that book and came out in 2015, The Coming Religious Reich, which I'm doing a series of on Sunday night for television. When you start looking at the royal family, and you start looking at their connections and their promotion and circles around the neo-Nazis or the Nazis, the actual Third Reich Nazis, you start to get a little concerned. You know, you really start to realize these people are not from there. Most of them are from Germany. They changed their last name to fit in. I mean, the people of Great Britain have been just duped. But that's up to them. If they want to pay their money and give this lavish lifestyle to this family, that's up to them. But it seems like they've been completely conned. This is a group of people.
Absolutely. And King Charles has not only promoted the UN's 2030 sustainability goals, but he, like I said, was the first to hop on board with Klaus Schwab's rebranding of the Great Reset.
Which is neo-Nazism. And so you're with the controversy of the past and the black and white photographs and video footage and some of their members of their family running and meeting with Hitler. And, you know, some of the family members caught on black and white video doing the Hitler salute and all this. You would think this family would stay far away from this. But apparently...
Wasn't it Charles's father who made some comment that if he could come back in a second life...
He would come back as a virus and kill 90% of the Earth.
Yes. Right. So the family has a eugenicist background, no question about it.
And, you know,
they wouldn't be letting themselves be used to promote the Great Reset if they didn't.
And they would certainly say some things have happened in the past with the family that we don't agree with, and we will never go anywhere near this, stay away from all this. When you realize the Nazi ecology roots of Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, this makes me wonder if this family, some of them, haven't been in that worldview the whole time. This has been a great, I don't know where the queen was coming from. Maybe she had absolutely nothing to do with it, but I do know there's some footage of her when she was a kid, but we'll pass that off to the fact she was just a kid. But the whole thing is weird. And, you know, I know a lot of people have made allowances for Prince William and Kate, but I think Prince William is just as cuckoo as his father. I think Harry is just, woo, cuckoo. Prince William, I guess he'll be the next king, he's just as radical nutty as his dad if you go watch videos of him.
Well, and Brandon, let me throw another thing out there that you and I have discussed before several months ago on one of your programs. I believe it was this afternoon show, the Commonwealth Games from last July.
Yes.
Where they literally brought in a Moloch bull and had a woman who they had riding the beast and then a circle of other women praising the beast. This was all in a ceremony for the opening of the Commonwealth Games, similar to the Olympic Games, only it's a regional, not a global thing. And Prince Charles was right there at the opening ceremony, nodding in approval.
And here he comes. Here he comes in the Aston Martin. There he is, for those watching by television. Let me go back. There he is. And so he was there getting out of the Aston Martin and going up there, and they got what looks like a Tower of Babel. And they've got a moat around it and people coming up out of the water, kind of like the Tower of Babel and the people, you know, the great harlot rising out of many waters or sits on many waters. So there's your Tower of Babel. They got these crystals in their hand. And then, of course, they put the crystal in. There's the people in the water for those watching my television. Then they put the crystals in front of the beast and they use the crystals in front of the beast to tame the beast. And then pretty soon you got the woman that tames the beast. There's the beast. The woman that tames the beast, she's then up on top riding the beast. So, I mean, the whole thing, and there's Prince Charles
there
giving his little speech. I mean, these people are weird. And then you've got that tunnel. Remember that tunnel they were opening over there wherever that was? And that had goat's heads and all kinds of weird stuff. These people are
so weird. I believe that this family, and Charles in particular... And again, this part is just my opinion, but at the very least, I believe he is Luciferian.
I don't doubt it.
Possibly more than that. Possibly, you know, outright satanic.
Let's go to this clip that you embedded. Here's some audio for the control room. This is Surveillance Under the Skin. Yuval Noah Harari of the World Economic Forum, of which Prince Charles is running with them, calling for, you know, world government, we're all going to die. You know, and by the way, in our Worldview Report, Leo is an associate producer, helps me with that so much, putting out that daily news report. In my news report tonight, we're talking about the governor of New York. They've passed legislation using global warming to say we're going to ban we're going to ban gas stoves, and there is no getting around it by 2025. No getting around it.
Brannon, thank you for bringing that up, because that is a unbelievable illustrative point as to why people should take this stuff seriously that's coming out of the UN and Agenda 2030. A lot of conservatives I know, when you start talking about the UN generally and 2030 in particular, their eyes glaze over. Why? Because they don't believe that the UN has a practical relevance down where the rubber meets the road here in our states, in our country, in our communities, when the fact is that most of the bad policy that comes out of our federal, state, and local governments is a direct result of them, whether they know it or not, furthering and going into compliance with the sustainability goals. And that is an example of it right there.
Indeed. And, you know, to think you're going to get rid of gas stoves and gas water heaters, do you know what this is going to cost people? And then you're going to put all of this onto the electrical grid, our electrical grid. You're going to plug in cars. You're going to take stoves and stovetops and all this and get rid of natural gas, and you're going to do all electrical. The electrical grid can't handle this.
Well, that's why I believe
By the way, doesn't a lot of our electricity come from coal fire anyway?
Yes, absolutely. The majority of it does. But that's why, Brannon, I think that plays into the depopulation scheme. In their minds, in another 5 or 10 years, we're going to have 50 or 60 or 70% less people in the world, because they're going to vax them to death. They're going to food shortage and famine them to death. And if that fails, we've got World War III out there. So in their minds, there will be enough electric capacity on the grid, because there's not going to be nearly as many, as they call them, useless eaters.
And by your own map in your article last week, they're predicting the U.S. population to drop by 70%.
Right. Now, why is that exactly?
Well, that is either EMP, cyber hacking, or some kind of plandemic they put out.
Or all of the above, right.
Wow. All right, here is Noah, Yuval Noah Harari.
Humans are now hackable animals. You know, the whole idea that humans have, you know, this, they have this soul or spirit, and they have free will, and nobody knows what's happening inside me. So whatever I choose, whether in the election or whether in the supermarket, this is my free will, that's over. We have all this still myth of free will, that everything we choose is of our own free will. And this is a myth that served us well for a couple of centuries. But now it's becoming dangerous. Previously, surveillance was mainly above the skin. Now it's going under the skin.
Well, I think maybe in a couple of decades, when people look back, the thing they will remember from the COVID crisis is this is the moment when everything went digital. And this was the moment when everything became monitored, that we agreed to be surveyed all the time, not just in authoritarian machines, but even in democracies. And maybe most importantly of all, this was the moment when surveillance started going under the skin.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Isn't that creepy?
Yeah, it's so creepy.
Yeah, he said this was the moment when everything went digital, when everything became monitored, and we agreed to be surveilled. Not just, he said, in dictatorships, but even in democracies.
Oh, wow. Then we've
I guess we have a democratic surveillance here in America.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've got a break coming up. Let me see if I can get this in here. Here is, I don't even know if you've seen this yet. Here is Piers Morgan talking to Noah Harari, Yuval Noah Harari. This is just a couple weeks ago. Watch this.
I mean, you're an expert in this field. How worried should we be about artificial intelligence actually taking control?
We should be very worried, because what we need to understand about AI, artificial intelligence, it is the first tool that can make decisions by itself. All previous inventions in human history always empowered us. They always gave us more power, because the decisions were always made by humans. If you invent a knife, the knife cannot decide whether to use it to cut salad or to murder somebody or to save their life in surgery. If you invent an atom bomb, similarly, the atom bomb cannot decide who to attack and when and where. AI is the first technology that can actually make decisions by itself. It can make decisions about its own usage and development. Nukes cannot make better nukes, but AI can make better than I. And also, AI can make and does make decisions about us. Increasingly, when you apply to a bank to get a loan, you apply to get a job, it's an AI making crucial decisions about your life. And we haven't seen anything yet. AI is just making its first tiny baby steps.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll come back because this guy talks out of both sides of his mouth.
He does.
Okay, so don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Are you concerned about the current financial state of not only America, but the world? Are you concerned about, well, the enslavement that can come to you through a digital currency where they can track every movement, every transaction, or turn you off? How about the merging of a digital economy with a social credit score? We saw through the COVID tyranny just how tyrannical our government can be to those who love liberty and freedom, to small business owners as well as large business owners, to the invasion of privacy. If you're looking for a way to secure your financial future, well, can I recommend you get the free packet of information from Wes Peters at Swiss America? We've been working with Swiss America for over 16 years as a sponsor of our radio shows, our TV shows, and our conferences, our free Worldview Weekend rallies we held all over America. Again, we've been working with them for over 16 years. In fact, Wes Peters shows up at our national conference at the Ozarks almost every year, and he sits and has meals and visits with many of our attendees who are now his clients. That speaks volumes, doesn't it? Well, I don't give financial advice, but I do give financial opinion. And I believe you should call Swiss America right now and get their free, no-obligation packet of information. In fact, you don't even have to call. You can actually text Wes Peters right on his cell phone. Give him your name and mailing address and let him know you would like the free, no-obligation packet of information mentioned by Brandon House. You can text him at 602-558-8585. That's 602-558-8585. 558-8585. I'll give that again if you want to get a pen and piece of paper. Remember, when you get this packet of information, here's what I would recommend. Go through it. Write down all your questions. And then after you've thoroughly researched the information he sent you, then you can call him back up, set up a time and appointment to visit with him and have all your questions answered. Do your due diligence. Do your homework. There is no template for every person. Every person is in a separate situation, right? So, my friends, do your homework and then ask a lot of questions. Once you're satisfied with all of your homework, then you can make a decision that is best for you. Again, it starts, I think, though, with getting that free packet of information. No obligation. Just simply text him your name and address. He'll send it on its way. And you'll get to learn the difference between bullion, freshly minted silver coins or gold coins, and what is known as numismatic, 1933 and older. You can learn about how to put gold in your IRA. These are questions, again, that you can get answered through that packet of information and conversations with Wes Peters at Swiss America. So again, just simply text him your name and address, 602-558-8585, 602-558-8585, and that free packet of information will be on its way. Thanks. All right, welcome back. Glad you are with us. Leo Holman of leoholman.com. Noah Harari. He's talking out of both sides of his mouth because the whole thing about World Economic Forum is we won't need humans. We won't need humans.
Right.
And now he's bemoaning, and we're going to be able to know what you're thinking. It'll be the God above the clouds. No, it won't be the God above the clouds. It'll be the God in the clouds. We will be the gods. I mean, this guy... he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. He's pushing this while he's also warning about it.
You're absolutely right, because here he's warning about it, but I have seen him in other interviews where he
talks about how wonderful AI is and that he wishes AI had been around when he was a young teenager, like 13 or 14. He said if he had had AI, he would have known that he was gay back when he was 13 or 14 instead of having to wait and find out for himself at around age 19. I kid you not, he said that.
That's right. I've seen it. I can validate it. Let's see a little bit more of this forked-tongued devil. Here we go.
Like 10 years old. You know, to really think about it as like this beginning of organic life 4 billion years ago. This is the first amoeba crawling out of the organic soup. Can you imagine how Tyrannosaurus Rex would look like, or how Homo sapiens would look like and what we'll be able to
okay,
do?
Okay, well, you successfully terrified me and probably all my from the T-Rex of AI.
Well, first of all, it can also, of course, be used for good. And
right.
So far, we are still in control, but we don't know for how many years. And therefore, we need to, first of all, understand the capabilities of AI and slow down its deployment to make sure that we use it wisely and safely. You know, the same way that a drug company cannot just release a new medicine to the public without going through a very rigorous safety checks, it should be the same with AI.
Right, but okay, here's the problem, yeah. It seems to me, which is it's fine to be well-meaning. I mean, Elon Musk, I think a lot of what he does, he's a force for good in many ways. You know, all the stuff he's been involved with is to try and, I think, help rather than damage the planet. But this AI intelligence is going to get in the hands of some pretty bad people or some pretty dodgy
Absolutely.
Regimes. And they're not going to have any qualms about trying to get the edge over the West or America or wherever it may be. That's where I see the real danger, is that, you know, a bit like nuclear weapons getting into rogue states' hands, is that once the wrong people have control of this, then all hell could break loose.
In the hands of the wrong people, AI could be the end of democracy. AI could also be the basis for the worst totalitarian regimes in human history, because, you know, dictators always dreamt about following everybody and monitoring everybody all the time, but they could never do it because, you know, even the Soviet Union, you have 200 million Soviet citizens. Stalin didn't have 200 million KGB officers to follow everybody around all the time and then to analyze. All you need millions of analysts to analyze all the data you collect.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Now with AI.
Okay, so now you say with AI we can do that. But that's exactly what they're wanting. They want world government, a world economy, a world religion. This is what they want.
I think what's happening here, Brandon, because he's not the only one. We've got Elon Musk coming out and saying, you know, we need to beware of this AI and where it's going.
So I bet you I know what you're about to say. What they're saying
is they're warning of the danger,
and they're going to say, but we should be the ones to control it.
We warned you, right. When it happens, they can come out as the good guys saying, you know, look back at this. We warned you, and you didn't listen to us. And so we need to get a handle on this.
So this puts together this world council, if you will, of experts, the technocrats,
right.
who will get control of it and save mankind from what they have released. Always manufacture the problem take advantage of the crisis you've manufactured. So while they're pushing it, proclaiming it, now they're warning about it. They let it out. It does some bad things, horrible things. And now we have the reason for a global council to oversee the threat of artificial intelligence, which, by the way, if it starts to then duplicate people in their identity and identity theft,
right.
now we have to have a mark to verify it's really you. So your
100%.
Identity and your credit and your money is safe. So no
exactly.
one can buy or sell. So you create this AI that can steal everything about you, deep fakes, your look, your voice. It can steal your money, steal everything, but not if we have a mark and everyone has now been authorized as who they really are. You can see this. And by the way, isn't it Tony Blair? Tony Blair.
You read my mind, Brandon.
I know. You and I are studying the same thing, so we come to the same conclusions, which is so interesting to work together like this. But Tony Blair, do you know Tony Blair has been calling for a global council of unelected experts. Did you know that Tony Blair's been calling that for several years? It's in my book. In 2015, Tony Blair wants a world council of unelected technocrats who rule the world. That sounds to me like the 10 assistants that are helping the Antichrist.
Hey, Bing, that is a very good possibility, yes. And Tony Blair has also come out recently very vociferously in favor of a global digital ID system.
Yes, yes. Indeed, he has. Oh, wow. Now, I want to share something else with you that, let's see if I have it here. Got so many clips. Okay, yeah. I want you to, I don't know if you've seen this yet today. Talk about, you know, monitoring people and everything. This AI is going to be able to do so much with your social credit score, ESG scores, etc. And they won't need to rely on the government to do it. But Congressman Matt Gaetz has come out in a hearing. I don't know if you've seen this yet today. And he is getting one of the inspector generals, Horowitz, to acknowledge and people under oath to acknowledge you got like 10,000 government workers using data and information that they really shouldn't have access to. DOJ Inspector General reveals more than 10,000 federal employees have access to NSA database for surveillance inquiries. Now, that replace those 10,000 bureaucrats with AI. But listen to this, folks. And by the way, they're doing this without warrants. Listen to this.
Be bipartisan and to be nonpartisan, which at times are two different things. And I think it is thoughtful and mature, and I will do all I can to resist the temptation to frequently point out that the very political weaponization that Ms. Williams testified about is often directed against Republicans. But based on the ranking member's solemn and I think thoughtful advice, we'll try to avoid seizing on that point as frequently as we might otherwise. I want to get into the 3.4 million backdoor searches that the ranking member pointed out in his opening statement. Mr. Inspector General, how should the public think about those?
Well, I think what we've seen in the various public reports, and I'm limited in what I can say about what's public, which I think is one of the issues, by the way, that's worth talking about, is transparency here. It's obviously very concerning that there's that volume of searches, and particularly concerning the error rate that was reported on in the last 2 years in the public reporting.
Now, and that error rate was what?
I believe it was around 30%. I think, fellow members, I think it's around 30%.
Well, 30%. I'm a lawyer, not a mathematician, but 3.4 million, about 30%. You're talking about seven figures of error in terms of these searches. I'm wondering how many people can perform these backdoor queries?
I'm going to defer to board members because you have the review ongoing.
I'm afraid I don't have those figures at my fingertips in terms of the number of people that can conduct those types of searches, but I share the concern expressed in the question that we need to have greater safeguards, and I urge Congress to incorporate a requirement for FISA court review of these kinds of searches to protect Americans' Fourth Amendment rights.
3.4 million backdoor searches, more than a million of them in error. If I represent to you that we believe there may be north of 10,000 people in the federal government that can perform those queries, would anyone here have a basis to disagree with that assessment?
No.
So FISA is unique in our jurisprudence because it's not an adversarial process. Most of us think about justice where there's a lawyer on one side, a lawyer on the other, and then a judge or a jury makes the decision. But here in FISA, you've got just one team and the referee, and you don't have a defense attorney or an advocate there to point out these things. Given that FISA isn't adversarial, how does that increase the importance of the department?
All right, we'll stop it there. But think about that. 10,000 government bureaucrats having access to NSA information to surveil without warrants And I guarantee you, you and I have been in this. I guarantee you they've surveilled us. I would be so shocked if they're not surveilling us. And I'm mindful of that all the time.
Yes.
But think about what AI can do. That these, you know, who needs 10,000 bureaucrats when AI can do it and then flag it?
Right. And then if they make a mistake, who do you blame? There's no human to pin it on.
You want to take some, you want to take some phone calls?
Sure.
1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions, 1-800-347-9829. Again, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Leo Holman is my guest. His website is His website is leoholman.com, leoholman.com. Before we go to your phone calls, let me just show you briefly and tell you briefly, these are some of the topics I covered last night that are on demand. Is the government the biggest trafficker of children? And I played congressional testimony that I didn't have time to get to yesterday during this broadcast. I played new testimony last night. Is the U.S. government the biggest trafficker of children? And I think the answer is yes, yes, and some of these whistleblowers said so. Here's another one. Teachers playing disgusting licking game with students. And what they're doing, folks, is they're putting a whipped cream on one side of a glass frame and whipped cream on the other side, and it's on a table in a gym, and the students on one side, a student runs up to that glass. On the other side is a teacher running up to that glass, and there you go. That's the imagery. Licking off this whipped cream, and you, again, do you not think this is sexualizing children, grooming children, and breaking down standards of decency and decorum? Can you ever believe your teachers, and I'm 54 as of last week, can you ever believe your teachers conducting themselves in this manner? Another one, UN seeks vast powers for global emergencies, and then Leo last night, citizens asked to pledge allegiance to globalist King Charles, and Colonel Mills, is Secretary of State Blinken a CCP and Biden crime family useful idiot? Those are just some of the clips. Here's another one. Could $100 million loan from Chinese state bank to Rupert Murdoch explain Tucker's ouster? Here's another one. This is all from yesterday, folks. Why is the UN's WHO tracking unvaccinated Americans? Why is the UN's World Health Organization tracking unvaccinated Americans? These are the clips from yesterday's broadcast alone, on demand at WVWTV.com. Get ready for Crosstalk coming up at the top of the hour with Jim Schneider on 100 stations. Stay tuned. Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you have food insurance? I'm sure you have car insurance, life insurance, house insurance, medical insurance. But what about food insurance? We saw after COVID just how vulnerable our just-in-time inventory is. We saw what happened to basics like soups, meat, paper towels, toilet paper. This again showed the fragile nature of our just-in-time inventory. In fact, we've now, since COVID, seen, well, what appears to be an orchestrated attack on our food and food processing plants. And then, of course, now the war on poultry, chickens. Well, we know that many of these things the elite do, they plan. And they plan it for one reason, control. A few years ago, I did a whole series on how they plan to control us. Food, finances, firearms, foreign invasion, family health care. I listed multiple Fs that they can use to control us. One of them, of course, is food and finances. We talk about those things a lot. In fact, I think it was about 2020, the Rockefeller Foundation put out a document called Reset the Table, where they're talking about nationalizing our food industry. That sounds dangerous, doesn't it? Well, food is a great way to control people. And if you would like to have your own food insurance, as I've had for my family since 2013, then we invite you to go to WVWTVstore.com and check out the freeze-dried food we offer. It's actually really good. Tastes really good. You can get everything from a two-week kit to a 72-hour test kit just to try it out. Then you can get a three-month kit, 6 months, year, 2 year. If you do a 2 year or more, we advise you to use the phone and Libby will cut you a deal on shipping. So you can order online at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com or by calling 901-468-9357. 901-468-9357. As I said, I've had emergency freeze-dried food for my family since 2013. I didn't mention it on the air until 2016. When I did, well, we got a lot of emails, texts, and phone calls. What'd you get? Where'd you get it? How do we get it? We thought, well, you know what? If our audience wants it, let's provide that service to our audience, and we'll use a reasonable profit in there to fund our broadcast network. And that's exactly what we've done. So I know you can purchase your emergency freeze-dried food from a lot of different sources. Thank you for purchasing it from us because we're able to provide you with a service, and it's a big part of our general operating budget to keep offering free radio shows and free TV shows. By the way, they're free to you, but not to us. We have to pay thousands and thousands of dollars a month in bandwidth bill to push out free programming. So if you appreciate that fact, please consider ordering your emergency freeze-dried food from us at WVWTVstore.com. That's WVWTVstore.com or by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. With all this happening in the world today, why would you not want your own food insurance? Thank you. All right, 1-800-347-9829, 1-800-347-9829. Your thoughts, your comments, your questions. Let's start out with Janet in Illinois. Janet, line one, thanks for calling in today, Janet. Hi, Janet. All right. I'm not hearing Janet.
Janet? And your short list for the Antichrist, and I wanted to add Yuval Noah Harari to the list.
Yes.
I believe he fits. When you watch him present to a group of people, they are just memorized. They mesmerize. They hang on his every word. And there's a passage in Revelation, I can't pinpoint it right at the moment, but it talks about the Antichrist not having an interest in women.
That is in, actually, the book of Daniel.
Daniel, okay. I had just studied Daniel, so it kind of all is going together. But, yes, that he won't have an interest in women. I think.
And for those who don't know, Noah, he's a homosexual.
Yes, absolutely.
So, and he's Jewish, which, yes, for some believe the Antichrist will be Jewish, some believe the Antichrist will be Gentile. I tend to believe he'll be Jewish. I just don't know how the Jewish people are going to think that the Messiah is a Gentile. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me, but I know there are good people that are friends of mine that disagree on both sides. You definitely would put him on the short list. Thank you so much for the call, Janet. Of course, Leo, again, this guy doesn't seem all that, he's not suave. He's not nice looking guy. He doesn't have a lot of charisma. But I guess if you all of a sudden are empowered by by Satan, then all of a sudden you're performing counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders. I mean, I guess that would change the narrative a little bit.
Right. I mean, there's nothing in the scripture that says that it'll be good looking. I don't even think there's anything in the scripture that describes him as necessarily charismatic. We've with the Left Behind novels and all, we get this picture,
exactly,
in our mind of,
yeah,
this young, charismatic, handsome, man. But it doesn't say that back and read. Right.
You're exactly right. Let's go to Jason in Arizona, line two. Jason, thanks for calling in.
Yeah, I was wondering, my thought for the Antichrist would be omnipotent with the use of AI. I don't know if you saw, but a couple of years ago, they were parading these huge AI statues in major cities. They brought one here to Phoenix and whatnot. I didn't get a chance to see it. But what if in the future AI is somehow used in to know when, like how the Muslims pray every day at, everybody bow down. They could have these huge AI statues in major cities on the screens. And then who's to say that in the future with the organic compounds and biological, they're mixing man and machine, and it goes perfect with the revelation for you can't mix iron and clay. What's iron, the machine? What's clay? The biological stuff they're tacking on to make, you know, real-life androids like iRobots.
Yeah.
So that's another way I think that they could be used as omnipotence to find out where everybody is.
Yeah, thank you, Jason. I do think the Antichrist will be a human. I think the words in the original text denote the words that are used for a real human being. But I do believe it's possible that AI, and so does Dr. Woods and others, could very well be used in this image that is erected in the Tribulation Temple, this image that speaks words of blasphemy. That's where I think your AI can come in. Of course, AI will also come in with the mark of the beast, I think, and your ESG score, your social credit score as an individual, ESG for corporations. So I think AI is going to be a big, big part of this. But I think the Antichrist himself will actually be a physical man. That's my initial thoughts or feelings, but there's nothing dogmatic about it. Ron Carlson closed out his book with the idea that some kind of technocratic savior could step off a UFO and be some kind of demonic entity that's taken on the look or appearance of man. So I guess
yes. And there's also the possibility that the Antichrist could be a man who is technologically augmented, you know, maybe with a brain chip or something embedded that makes him, you know, super smart, super all-knowing, super omniscient in that way. So it could be a combination of the two, that it is a man, but that it's not just a man. He's also augmented by some sort of transhumanist technology.
That's fascinating right there, Leo. Wow. Let's go to Randy in Arkansas. Randy, line 3, thanks for calling in, Randy.
Yeah, thanks a lot. No, I just got to comment. As scary as some of these things sound, it's also very exciting because it's falling right in line with biblical prophecy. And what did Jesus say? When you see these things happening, look up, for the end is near.
I agree with that, Randy. That's one reason why it doesn't scare me to talk about these issues, because I realize it's all setting the stage for the Bible to be fulfilled, and it has to be, or we believe a lie. Joseph in Pennsylvania, line 4. Joseph, thanks for calling in today, Joseph.
Hello.
Hi.
I had three or four things, quick things. For Leo, I get the impression that everyone wonders after the beast, which is, as far as I can see, mostly the miracles are from the false prophet, but he has the same power as the first beast. So I just get the impression that's why he's supposed to be charismatic or something. Everybody's mm-hmm. going to be impressed with him. I can't think of his name, Andy and the other man.
Oh, Dr. Woods and Dr. Lindstedt?
Lindstedt. He said about the he believes it's going to be a Jew, but I can't believe that the Muslims would ever give in to a Jew as the supreme leader. They'd kill their grandmother for you know, it's
yeah,
the last
and
resort.
So there you have kind of a situation, right? Because you're like, how are the Muslims going to accept this guy and go along with him? But yet, how are the Jews going to accept who they think is a Jewish Messiah they're waiting on? So the whole thing is very, you know, That's what's got a lot of us scratching our head, and that's why we give leeway to some who say the Antichrist will be a Gentile, some who say he'll be a Jew. We're giving leeway because we don't know. But great, great call. Let me have you comment on one thing, Leo, before we run out of time, and the music's playing. My interview the other night with Rebecca Walzer, wasn't that fascinating? You did a whole article on it at leohoman.com.
Yeah. If people go to leohoman.com, they can get a link to that interview and also my impressions of the interview itself.
Which is, give me 10 seconds of what you think.
Get your money out of commercial banks, for one. Invest in physical, tangible assets, but also consider credit unions as an alternative place to store your money as opposed to even a small bank.
It's at leoholman.com. Thanks for listening, folks. Take care.
This has been Worldview Weekend Radio with Brannon House. CDs are available by calling 1-800-729-9829. Or to hear an MP3 file of this or earlier programs, go to worldviewweekend.com. Views expressed may or may not be those of Worldview Weekend, BCY America, or this station. This program is a public affairs presentation of WorldviewWeekend.com and is heard weekdays on VCY America.
Hello, I'm Brandon House. Do you appreciate the free programs at WorldviewRadio.com, WVWTV.com? Do you appreciate the fact we put out a 24-hour-a-day stream of free television? By the way, did you know that's free for you to watch, but it's not free to us? We spend thousands of dollars a month in pushing out free programming. We have to pay the bandwidth. Every time someone listens to a radio show, watches a TV show, we get a bill. We have to pay the bandwidth bill. That comes to thousands of dollars a month, not counting the cost of our IT guys and all the other costs that go with producing television, the guys in the control room, and so much more. If you appreciate WVW Broadcast Network, would you partner with us? You can partner with us and help us push out free programming as a ministry of WVW Foundation, because you know what we could do? Put it all behind a paywall. But instead, we said, let's not do that. Let's push out programming for free as a ministry of the WVW Foundation. Would you please consider making a contribution right now at WVWFoundation.com? That's WVWFoundation.com. You'll also find our mailing address there if you prefer to support us through the mail. You can also use our phone number and make a contribution over the phone by calling 901-468-9357, 901-468-9357. Thank you for supporting free programming through WVWFoundation.com.